wanted to get into that. Now, what is your, I guess, perspective on that?
Okay, here's a belly flop is, oh, shut up. You'd be happier at home. Let's cut the crap. Most women would be happier at home, probably 95%. They're just pretending they like work and they have stupid jobs and they don't even hold a candle to being a mom. So shut up.
We're back, Ladder with Kreider. So glad to have my next guest. There's actually a story behind booking him before he broke the internet. But let me introduce him first. You can catch his podcast, Free Speech Podcast, on iTunes. Just Google it. You'll find it. Senor Gavin McGinnis, thank you for being on the show, sir.
Hello!
Oh, good Lord. You know, I adjusted the,
good morning!
I adjusted the mic levels, and then he went full Jerry Lewis. So
boom.
You know, no, that was Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. Remember when
Hello.
He came in the room?
Hello. Yeah.
That's right. I went. You know why? It's the Montreal in me, Gavin, where they just love Jerry Lewis. Remember?
Oh, you Frenchman, you frog.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so Gavin, but it's funny because we were about to book you last week, and then some things fell through. We had that woman who converted from Islam, and this is not the first time this happened. Same thing with Chael Sonnen. We had him booked, and then the John Jones controversy broke. The Anderson Silva controversy broke. Same thing with you. We had you booked. We moved you to the next week, and then, boom, you blew up the internet. Tell us, I guess, for those who don't know yet, what happened.
Well, the way Greg Gutfeld puts it, he goes, you made a big splash with a belly flop, and it could have been a swan dive if you had cited the proper statistics instead of just saying, I read it in a book. But I did read it in a book. And I am a belly flop kind of guy. Like I'm not Mark Phelps. I'm John Belushi. So why do I have to? I don't understand why white males have to tiptoe around and deliver facts like they're feeding a little squirrel in the park, and everyone else gets to just yell, "What do we want? Dead cops? When everyone's racist? Die cis scum? Why do they get to have all the fun?" Anyway, on Fox News, we were talking about Hillary
the Marleys Clinton. Were dead to begin with. Okay, the stage is set.
we were talking about the wage gap and how Hillary Clinton paid her workers less. And This was supposed hypocrisy. And I just brought up the fact that, no, all women earn less across the board, whether they're working for Hillary or, you know, the Women's Foundation for Equal Pay, or they're working at Fox News. And the reason for this is women tend to put family over work. There's a great book called Why Men Earn More, right. And it breaks it all down. It breaks it actually into, it breaks life into 25 choices. Mm-hmm. And he keeps finding time and time again that they would rather be with their kids for their daughter's piano recital than stay all night at work.
Yeah.
Duh. And
I don't think that's the case for Steven and me. I think we got women who know how to make a good dollar.
This is true. Yeah. Well, that's a big irony, too. It seems that conservative men, I mean, I know we're hopefully going to have her on the show, always, even though we believe in sort of, I guess, complementarianism, it seems to me that conservative men always marry the strongest women. I mean, my wife is no shrinking violet. She has no problem swatting me in the Costco parking lot because I locked the keys in the car.
Well, if your wife makes more money than you, then she married the wrong guy.
Well, no. Mine
did.
Yeah, even if she's a supermodel and she makes more money than her husband, she still married the wrong guy. She should have married like Dodo Fayed or whatever his name is. Saudi billionaire.
Fun dip that stings.
Well, no, you lucked out, I guess.
Yeah, well.
We're both a couple of hapless dorks who happened into some classy broads.
Well, the thing with you, Crowder, anyway, is you're a freak, and that's not really that profitable in this day and age. If you're going to say hate facts, you're not going to get rich, at least for the next few years.
I tell you what, actually, full disclosure, because we're going to be doing some crowdfunding to fight Islam, and I have to tell the audience I do pretty well, and I'm pretty grateful. But my wife does well, too. You know, my wife does really well, and she's a working woman, and we have it quite clear that, listen, she's told me, I don't want to work when I have children. So that burden falls on me, and she's let me know that, and I'm okay with that. So we've decided we're both going to be sort of sprinting right now. We both work jobs. We're both entrepreneurs, and then you know, she wants to be home with the kids, and that's okay. And because I love her, and because I respect her, and because I'm sexist, and I treat women differently than men, I said yes.
So wait, I don't get. So she does want to stay home with the kids after she has kids.
After she has kids, but she wants to work up until then.
Well, what happened with my wife is she said, I'm going right back to work as soon as they're born. And then she saw how fun they are. The first 7 weeks sucks. Don't get me wrong. The first 7 weeks blows. But once they start sleeping through the night, and then when they start walking, And then when they start talking, now we're up to 2 years, they never want to go back to work. And by the way, when I say never and when I say all, sorry, you can't swear on this show, right?
No, because it does go to actual stations as well.
I'm not fudging Mao. I'm not Stalin. Okay, nothing is all. But when it should be assumed that when we say nobody wants to do this, there are exceptions to the rule. But liberals always go, oh, really? Women like staying at home with kids, do they? Well, I found one person who doesn't. Ergo, everything you say doesn't exist.
There's nothing creepier than you doing the woman impression with your hand on your hip and the prison tats. Disconcerting. Image.
I gotta know though. Like, you got your kid potty trained at 7 weeks?
No. You're saying potty training is the hump you have to get over?
No,
aren't fun until after they're potty trained. Everything before that is a pain.
They drink nothing but milk, so their stool is just a softball. It's not
That's
like there's
disgusting.
Much wiping going on. It's no
That's
problem.
I changed like three diapers, and I was like, this is it. Wow. Let me know when he's potty trained, and I'll take him to the auto show or something. I'm not doing that.
I actually dread my youngest getting potty trained because I know he's our last, and every diaper is sanctamount?
I don't know. I don't know what I do know.
Sacred diapers. Now, that's gross.
What I do know is this first segment devolved so quickly right into scatological humor. But I think, you know, Gavin, it's funny that Greg said that to you. I don't think it was a belly flop. I really don't. I understand where he's coming from, but I understand where you're coming from. I do think there are certain people who will be closed off to it. But I think, like you said in your YouTube video afterward, a lot of those people are people that you just sort of have to resign yourself to the fact that you're not going to reach some of them anyway. So we have to go to a break here, but I want to bring you back after and give you the floor. Gavin McGinnis, Louder with Crowder. Stay tuned. Back with the one and only Gavin McGinnis Free Speech Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, all over the web. Gavin, okay, so we're talking about the Fox News controversy. You then went on HuffPo. What you said was basically a video. I mean, I released a video that debunked the wage gap myth a long time ago. It was during the Oscars. And
anyone who cares looked that up a long time ago.
Exactly. Exactly. So I want to ask you something, because President Obama went up and said the 77 cents on a dollar. He quoted that stat. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, it is so patently, verifiably false. No respectable economist, none, acknowledge it. They have to dismiss it. Even the feminist ones, they have to dismiss it as frivolous. Yet you have President Obama going out and spouting that. So is it me, or does it beg the question, okay, is he that stupid that he doesn't know, or is he proactively pulling, you know, the wool over the eyes of the American public here?
Well, I can't imagine that his staff doesn't have access to Google. But let's just play devil's advocate here. Maybe, you know, he is technically right. Women earn 77 cents on the dollar. That is true. The truth is they choose to earn that because they'd rather be at home with the kids. But maybe he's saying they shouldn't be at home with the kids and they shouldn't choose that. Maybe in his world, men and women are exactly the same and we stop having kids. I don't know.
Or the kids end up in the Obama youth.
Yes, yes. If women earn the same, exact same as men, it means they're working as hard as men. They're as driven as men. That means the kids have to be in daycare. That means the government is bigger. That means he gets more money, more power.
Yeah, we'll just think of Montreal, right? And I mean, that's one thing I wanted to get to. So obviously everyone knows about the feminist deal, and you've been going on about that for a while. They can find that in your Free Speech podcast. But you helped create, right, Vice Media. Was it Vice News or Vice Media when you created it?
It's called Vice Media now. It was called Voice of Montreal when we founded it.
Okay, that's right.
It was Sarush Alvi and I hired Shane to be my sales guy about 2 years in.
Okay, because I remember, you know, a lot of people don't realize we were both lived there the same time. I was raised in Montreal, so from 3 to 18, so entirely different perspective.
Oui, mais t'es jeune, toi.
Ouais, c'est ça.
30 ans. Moi, j'ai 44 ans, là.
Ah,
c'est nous, t'as or pooch pas.
What are you speaking? Klingon, Fundit?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're speaking an actual language, one that impresses women, doesn't repulse them.
Oh, hey.
French.
What? Well, I don't know if Quebecois is still seducing any women. Hey, it's just my grand salmon.
Okay. I don't know what the rule is
beep,
on
beep, beep, beep.
Bleeping French words.
Yeah, I don't know. If French swear words are all chair in a church, the
people
chalice.
People don't get that. When I tell them, well, that's a great point, too. You know, in the United States, I mean, they use the F word in French Canadian as a verb, right? It's not a bad word. You'll hear it on primetime television.
Oh, they'll say it in daycares. They'll say words I can't say right now in daycares.
Right. But their cuss words are, it's essentially like using the Lord's name in vain. You know, I mean, it'd be like me right now saying, oh, communion wafer or chalice.
Literally.
The worst thing you can say.
Yeah. Please, folks at home, he's not doing an analogy. Chalice is the worst swear word in Quebec.
A tabernacle is.
You've got to be kidding.
Tabernacle is, yeah.
Yeah.
Tabernacle, chalice, calvaire, what's that?
I don't know. I know. I know
a type of Chevy.
Well, eat is damn. That's.
Yeah, but SC is communion wafer.
Yes.
And, I mean, so, and what's funny, too, fun dip. See, you don't realize this to people listening. That's why Canadians, they use the F word as a period. So you'll have Canadians, they don't even know how to swear properly. They will go, oh, this thing is broken, F. Because in French Canada, the swear word comes at the end.
It's also being Scotch-Irish in Ontario. That. English Canada is founded by Scots. They're a drunk culture, and drunk people swear a lot. So the Ottawa Valley sounds like Scottish. That's why they say A. But when we were kids, we'd be throwing the softball, and we would go, F. Like you catch it and say F.
Fundip's going to have to hit the dump button.
Even a surgeon, if he was stitching you up, he'd go, F.
Yes. It's very, very common, and it's actually kind of annoying. But I remember, so when I was a kid, do you remember, now, where did you live in Montreal?
Yeah. I lived on the plateau.
Okay. So do you remember the big music store, Archambault?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there was a big one downtown, but where I was in the South Shore was the big, you know, there was HMV.
Oh, where, yeah. This was down on St. Catherine Street.
Yes. So there was a big one on the South Shore, Archambault, and they had all the, you know, it was a music store, and then they got into books and magazines. And so we'd walk out, and they always had the mirror, and they would have, you know, Vice was there. I remember seeing Vice, so I don't know. At what point did it become Vice?
It became Vice in 96.
Okay. Because
we left the government scam that it was. It broke out and changed the name.
Okay. Because I remember my parents, my dad would make sure. I mean, people don't understand this. And I know Vice wasn't quite there. But in Canada, you have newspapers where they will basically have like hardcore pornography in Montreal on the cover, and it'll be right next to Skittles.
Montreal invented the tabloid. Did you know that?
They invented the tabloid?
Yep. They were the first. All that, like all the British ones you see, the National Enquirer, all that started in Montreal.
Well, they were pretty rough though. I mean, you'd see like the corpse of a sexually mutilated body, and it'd be like right next to the Slim Jims.
Yeah. Allo Police.
Yep. Yes.
I would kill to find an Allo Police right now. That means hello, police.
Yeah.
Fun dip is
I know
so
Coke Cerise and Coke Classique. That's about it.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Why would I care that you know three French words?
I don't know.
How dare you, Fun Dip?
I know Audrey Tautou.
It's like someone yesterday that goes, hey, I saw the trailer of your movie.
I don't care. He's good. Gavin. He cares not.
Tell me when you've seen it.
Tell me when you put money in my pocket.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So that is a culture, right, in Montreal. And I feel like there are two kinds of people who come out of there, Gavin. People like you and I. We don't share everything in common.
People
but we
like
do have
you
a commonality. People like you and me. Sorry, Fundip. And then there are people who don't even think twice about it, right? I mean, the rule is what? Maybe 95% liberal. There are no conservatives in Montreal. There's liberal and liberal separatists. And then I feel like there are some people like you and me who see it and go, am I taking crazy pills? This is completely off the plot.
Well, the thing people don't get about where we come from is language, English versus French, subsumes everything.
Yeah.
There's no talk about abortion or Islam or racism. It's all totally dwarfed by English versus French. It's like in Scotland. They don't really talk about politics outside of I hate the English, let's separate. I mean, Scotland is like Quebec in that sense. And I always say Quebec is like this teenager who's been saying, I hate it here. You suck. I'm going to leave for 400 years. Right. And you're like, okay, go. Bye.
They'd be using the American dollar so fast it'll make your head spin too. Quebec.
Yeah. Oh, they would get eaten. They're already getting eaten by New York with all their electrical power. But what I was going to say is some of us English go, wait a minute. There's literally language police going around taking pictures of signs and saying you wrote English too big. We get mad, and it's like this pressure cooker where you have to be a total hustler to survive. And that's why Dove Charney comes out of Montreal. That's why you and I have this survival instinct, because we grew up basically in a dictatorship. I mean, if you ever meet a Chilean who grew up under Pinochet, he's a badass.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely true. But it's funny because most people are complacent and accept it. And I still have friends, you know, all over most of my friends are still from Montreal, right? I was raised with them. I went to Centennial Regional High School. And this is the greatest city. And it doesn't even compute with them because I don't think they understand what freedom actually tastes like.
Yeah.
And that's what's made me, I mean, I was, you know, working as an actor professionally at 12, the kids show Arthur. Remember, CINAR was the big production company there. And so I learned about taxes really, really young. And we've had family members die, flat out die because of healthcare where they would have been saved in the United States.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where when I saw you and I was reading up on you and learning more and more, I'm going like, gosh, these people weren't there when I was there. Sun News didn't exist when I was there. Do you think that the tides are turning a little bit? There's somewhat of a revolt that maybe didn't exist before I left in 2005?
Yes. And I think technology is a big part of this. Video podcasts, Twitter,
right.
All these different ways to get out. And eventually, you're never going to change the non-curious people. If they want to believe women get paid less for the same work, they're going to believe that. You know, people become more steadfast in their beliefs when confronted with data that contradicts their beliefs.
True.
However, for the curious out there, there's more and more information. And all you have to do is look under the rock and see that this racist hellhole, America, is not a racist hellhole.
Right. And you just have to move there for a little bit and give it a go.
It's just yeah. a regular hellhole sometimes.
Were you conservative or were you more right-leaning? Was that why you moved to the States or did you become more conservative being in the States?
We couldn't make any money in Montreal. You know, Vice went under a few times and... Right. First, we were dying because we were being strangled by this fake welfare program, which was how we were born. And then we were dying because we were living in socialist Montreal and we got some investment and said the only way we're going to turn this into a profit is to be in America where people like profits. You know, Canada, I love Canadians and I love the pub culture up there and I love the fries.
Crescent
and the
Street.
Women in Montreal are too pretty.
I'll never
Sharia
forget.
Law in Montreal. It's not fair.
I'll never
walk down the street. Every woman in Montreal should wear a burqa.
Okay, go ahead, fun dip.
I'll never forget when we vacationed in Montreal, and I'm hitting puberty right at the time. And everywhere I looked, gorgeous girls everywhere. It was insane.
Whenever we had a band stay at our house, and they said, what do you guys want to do? The city's yours. And they say, we just want to sit on a stoop with a king can and look at chicks.
Amazing looking women there.
Well, I think not it's the even fair. Louis XIV sent all the saucy broads over because he didn't want any cool chicks.
Right.
And then they started breeding with the natives and whoa.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's got a lot of good stuff going for it, but you just can't make money. It's an anti-profit country. And that's what we're starting to see here. A lot of this socialist ethos is drifting down here. And Stephen and I have lived it. And maybe it's good that we have immigrants like us because we go, trust me, we've tried to placate these nuts. They only want more.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, and I've talked about this too. So you've been here right when Barack Obama ran for president.
Yeah.
And a lot of conservatives were saying, look at his policies. He wants European socialism, right? Leftists said, socialist is now code for the N-word. And I always said to them, I said, well, you can't say that to me because I come from a place where socialism isn't a bad word. It's just part of the everyday political vernacular.
Yes.
It's just, socialist. Oh, you're a socialist. You're part of the Liberal Party. What are you, NDP? Oh, yeah. Socialism is fine there. So it's not
a given.
Right. Yes, exactly. And as a matter of fact, if you actually look into the reasons Quebec wants to separate, some of it could sort of be applied to 10th Amendment principles. You know what I mean? They feel as though they're this big tax base and they're paying for people in the other part of the country. And if you actually look at it, there's a shred of conservatism in there where they feel as though they're not being represented fairly, and then they miss it with the language laws and the authoritarianism,
yes.
Essentially.
Missed it by that much, Chief.
It is a good point. And I go back and forth on that. Sometimes I'm pro-separatist because I like the idea of statism.
Right.
And this, I want a million flowers to bloom, as Mao would say, just tons of little countries. But that's not – their agenda is just more welfare. I mean,
yeah.
They're on the teat. And they think because they have Quebecor and what's the other one that builds the Bombardier? They think because they have two corporations, they're rich and we're holding them back. Look it up. You're on welfare.
Right. I know. Well, that's the thing. And then they want to separate for their independence. and then provide more welfare. Gavin McGinnis, we will bring you back after the break. So glad to speak with someone from my hometown, Montreal, who is also a reasonable human being. Louder with Crowder. Stay tuned. We are back. Gavin McGinnis, Free Speech Podcast. You can find it online if you have the Googles, which President Obama apparently does not. Gavin, thanks for being back. And, okay, you're settled in. He was making coffee while we were talking with him and was complaining about the Nespresso machines.
Now I want more coffee.
This is a weird way to start off a third segment. Well, that takes us perfectly, Gavin, to the belly flop versus swan dive. Swine dive, I guess. You could use that too. You wanted to get into that. Now, what is your, I guess, perspective on that?
Okay, here's a belly flop is, oh, shut up. You'd be happier at home. Let's cut the crap. Most women would be happier at home, probably 95%. They're just pretending they like work and they have stupid jobs and they don't even hold a candle to being a mom. So shut up. That's a belly flop. A swan dive is, look, of course there are women who are meant to be in the workforce, but studies are showing the vast majority are less happy since feminism. There's a University of Pennsylvania study that looked at 800 women across the board of race, color, creed, wage, everything, and they were all less happy. And then the book Why Men Earn More by Warren Farrell said broke down life into about 25 choices, and he discovered that women tend to choose more family-based events and forego work and then mm-hmm. end up making less money and get promoted less. That's the swan dive.
Right.
What's more effective? I don't know.
Well, I will tell you this. The swan dive, no one would ever have seen it anyway.
Exactly. And maybe the belly flop, people go, what an ass! And then the few curious people go, I'm going to find data that refute. Oh.
Right.
Oh, it's true.
Whoa. No, I agree. And I think and this is actually a book that I'm writing. And it's funny. I pitched it to a bunch of conservative publishers back when I was still attempting to swan dive properly. And they said, well, we're doing Obama doomsday books right now. And this is funny. And it's too offbeat. And we just no. And so it's like, OK, so I just put it in my back pocket. But it's funny because we've talked about this. There are two different kinds of leftists. OK, there's the what I call the American idiot. Twist on Green Day, the people who just accept what's been prescribed to them by the culture at large.
Yeah, for them, it's just fashion.
Right. It's just this is what you believe, and that's the easy going with the grain. And then there are the modern leftists, the Sean Penns, the James Camerons, the people who are proactively manipulating and want, like Barack Obama. Does he not know those stats? I think he does, and I think he wants to make sure to keep that divide in existence between men and women, Americans, divide and conquer. And so he manipulates that. And so I think there are two different approaches. I think with the American idiot, which could definitely apply to Tamara Holder, I'm sorry, you can reach them. You can change their minds. With the modern leftist, you cannot, because they have a vested interest. Like you said, they're confronted with data. They're going to dig their heels in. So with them, I think you need to make an example of them so that you can reach the American idiots following them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's my goal. I mean, the goal here is helping women. I'm trying to share joy, believe it or not.
Right.
And by saying to women that are over 30, check your ovaries, look it up, I'm trying to make them happy. Every single 20-something I know not only says she doesn't want kids, but talks about it like it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I think feminism has brainwashed them into thinking that having a baby is for sellout, loser, hillbilly nothings, and abortions and condoms are empowering. I mean, even lesbians in lesbian porn, not for men, I'm talking lesbian, bi lesbians, for lesbians, they use contraception on the sex toys. It's
really?
Like empowering to them. Yeah. So that's the,
that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard on this program.
I know. I forgot to ask a lesbian
like foam?
Yesterday about it. Yeah, it's anyway, we won't get into too much detail, but it's confusing. And then every 40-something I know is saying, what have I done? They're asking me to hook them up with my single friends, and I don't know how to say, my single friends are shallow. They don't want you. Right. And they're spending tons of money, the ones that do have a man, on in vitro, like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And in vitro is bizarre. You know, it gives you quintuplets knowing that four will die. It's some sick god play.
Going old fashioned. It's kind of like that down Periscope movie. Everyone else is going nuclear. I'm going to stick with the diesel sub.
Exactly. Look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And if you are one of these freaks who's meant to be totally male and not have kids, by all means, go bananas. But we're at the point now where the majority think they're this freak. Like Kennedy, you know Kennedy on Fox Business?
Yeah.
She would love to be at home with her kids, but she was cursed with a gift to do incredible TV. I mean, she reads the teleprompter like Mozart.
Right.
And she's great on the fly. She's great. She had this big fight with John Bolton a few months ago that was, it was like watching the greatest boxing match I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'd be dumb. It's like LeBron James. He'd be dumb not to play basketball. But you're not all LeBron James. Right now, feminism is at a point where they all think they're LeBron.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, so we did a video this week. You probably haven't seen it. I'll send it to you afterward, where we asked people about the definitions like thug, riots. And what's funny is everyone across all different colors and genders recognize the same people thugs. So you had black people who recognize both black people and white people, and we show them a slideshow as thugs, and white people who recognize the same both black people and white people as thugs. But what we did find was when we asked people about microaggression, the term, have you heard it? Have you heard of this term? Not a single person, including black people, had heard of the term. The only group that had were gender studies feminists. Those were the only.
Yeah, so exactly. And they went $60,000 into debt learning that made up language. It's like Klingon. And I always say, like, lawyers learn a crazy, mixed up, weird language that no one speaks, but they use that in court. When these gender queer graduates start talking, everyone goes, what the hell is intersectionality?
Right.
It's not on Webster's.com. It's not in the dictionary.
Well, the reason the language is right, they say thug is the new N-word. And when we asked people, everyone said, no, I think that's a racist statement to make because you're applying something to black people that can apply across the board. I mean, everyone agreed.
Yeah,
the bikers in Waco are just as much of a thug as Mike Brown.
You know what it is? Science, STEM is hard. Science is hard, but it's fun to sound smart. So what they've done is they've made up a fake science. It's like astrology. And they've made up these fake words, and they've made up all this fake data, so they can put on a lab coat and play science man. And you're like
Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Totally
Bill Nye is
fake
kind of a phony
guy.
Too, even. He's like a, within the scientific community, he's not really respected as a peer. But anyway, yeah, they make up all this fake science, and then they come storming at you, and they say, white male patriarchy is raping women. White men are the reason there's sexism. And you go, really? In 2005, 10 white men raped black women. 37,000 black men raped white women. Now, I don't want to make it about race, but if you want to go there, we can go there. And the numbers ain't pretty, lady.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me. What I was going to get was
37,460 versus 10.
Good Lord. Well, like you said, we're not. You don't want to be the one bringing it to the racial discussion. But that's the thing, is they only see race. And the thing about the microaggression, and the thing about thug is the new N-word, socialist is the new N-word, the one common theme, the common thread through all of that, is leftists are creating a language that allows them to attribute a motive to someone without ever having to prove it. If I say thug, I can mean a biker bar. I mean, you know, we're from Montreal. Biker gangs were legendary between Hell's Angels.
Rock Machine,
exactly. And you know what's funny about them? They actually weren't motorcyclists. They were a gang, and they said, well, the big thing is motorcycle gangs in Montreal, guys, so can we all get Harleys? And I think a good portion of them had, like, import Japanese bikes. Like, they weren't.
Yeah, the Hell's Angels were totally confused by their stupid bikes. They'd be on mopeds.
I can't ride driving Vespas.
Yeah.
But then they would slit your throat.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what's interesting, Crowder? We come from a place where we've seen what happens when they try to control the language. They take Polaroids of stores. You get fines. Your company gets shut down
because
you're too English. So when we see liberals trying to control the language and divert the conversation and say thug, and we're starting this new committee to monitor comedy clubs, and you can't say rape jokes, and you can't, and this is a code word for this, and we're going to put all the whites in one room. We've been there, and we go, no, don't try to control the language. It always gets worse. It's going to snowball.
Right. Well, and then also what's funny is, I say this and people don't believe me, when we had a black guest on, Phil from the Advice show, and he was talking about how you don't understand, you know, as a white American, systemic discrimination. And I go, well, first off, there is no systemic discrimination in the United States. There's a black president of the United States, okay? There are plenty of individual racists, absolutely. But actually, as an English-speaking Canadian born to a French-Canadian mom, you know, which complicates the laws even more, I've faced more systemic discrimination in North America than probably any other group can. I had to go to French schools. They thought I was learning disabled, and I wasn't learning disabled. I just couldn't do math and geography and history in French. I was a step behind everyone else, and I wasn't allowed to go to English schools.
Yeah, you want to talk about systemic? You force someone to be French, you're in their brain. I mean, you're controlling their thoughts. That Quebec isn't happy until you're counting money going 10, 20, 30, 40, 50.
Exactly.
And like they want you to literally dream in French.
I know. And when people, I go, no, this is what systemic discrimination is in Canada. And what's funny is it also results in secondary increased racism. Because we were talking about this, French Canadians, right, they create and fund it. You don't know this, the term pure laine, right, means pure wool. The pure blood, of French European blood is what they want in Quebec. And they created these language laws, right, to sort of purify the province. And so what happened, a lot of Haitians started immigrating because there was a huge Haitian-French community, and French Canadians hate Haitians.
And it totally diluted the whole pure French thing, right?
Yes.
Totally.
Now, what are you capable of thinking in both French and English, like totally just thinking it?
Stephen is. I'm not.
I mean, I can think in it. I probably actually can think more clearly in French than I could speak because of the verb tenses. I mean, you know, Gavin, it's a perishable skill. You lose it if you don't use it enough.
Yeah, and it's a stupid language.
But when I think of thinking in a different language than your like native common language, it reminds me I think it was a Clint Eastwood movie about he had to fly a helicopter and he had to think it in Russian because it was controlled. It might have been somebody else other than, but at any rate, there was this movie where the guy couldn't fly a helicopter unless he thought about it in Russian. Because it was a helmet that he wore to fly the thing.
Yeah, that's a trip. And our immigrants today, they come to this country and they hate it and they don't want to learn it. But the way white people are when they immigrate somewhere else, I mean, they really get into the country. And I lived in Taiwan for a while and there was this Canadian guy there who married a Chinese woman. We were both teaching English and he had Chinese kids and he would just sit reading the Chinese paper. You know, every day and talking to his kid, Cao Ning, and so, hey, well, Chi Lao Shi, Wao Chun, Su Chi. And he was just a Mandarin dude. And I couldn't wrap my mind around that. But it's a big part of what Quebec's going for. I don't know how this all ties together. But
I don't know either, but it's interesting.
One thing that's amazing about Quebec is after the referendum, the biggie that was in the 90s, 96 or something.
Is that Jacques Parizeau and all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Les immigrés.
Yeah.
They lost a separatist election, and he said, you know whose fault this is? The immigrants and the English.
Yeah.
But anyway, walking down the street that week, if you were speaking English to your friend, you felt audacious.
Yeah.
And it was a brave thing to do. It was crass to just walk down the street and say, hi, Joe, how are you today? And that is the culture we're in with political correctness. Right. If you are at work and you're talking to someone and there's a slightly sexual tinge to your joke and women are in the room, you feel like you're speaking English after the referendum in Quebec. And I remember that feeling and I don't want to feel ashamed. I don't like feeling guarded. So political correctness is a great example. It's a great analogy here with Quebec separatism and the Quebec French.
Yeah. I think you're right. And you know what, Gavin? I think what you just said took you more than 45 seconds on a panel would allow you. And I think that's why you are a belly flopper, for better or worse. And that's a good thing. I think the digital age, the internet revolution allows someone like you to have a voice and have the time needed to let that voice get out there. You know?
Well, that's the second part of the debate. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. I had too much coffee this morning.
Fine.
But the second debate is it up to you whether you belly flop or swan dive? You know, Roger Ailes says, if you are yourself, you're unstoppable. And I know that's weird to say to you, but I think you just have to go, I would love to swan dive. I would love to sit there and delicately lay out the figures, but I'm Bluto from Animal House. I can't help but go, when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, did we quit? No, come on, rah!
Germans? Who cares? He's rolling. Yeah, it's a great film. It's funny. My video producer hasn't seen that one.
Ooh, it's because he's 12.
Yeah, that gives me chills when people haven't seen Animal House.
He hadn't seen Slapshot either.
Or 1941.
Yeah. Those I can live with.
Slapshot? Really?
I'm not a fan of people not being a fan.
Okay, okay.
But I can sleep at night if they haven't seen 1940. When people haven't seen Animal House, I get chills.
I know.
They're multiplying.
Yeah, we're actually going to do the most offensive video in internet history and just have all of those quotes from those old films that you just can't say today.
Dude, that's so funny you say that because I'm going to break the world's record for a video podcast by talking about Animal House for 48 hours.
Nice. That's very nice.
I didn't mean to spill the beans, but you made it irresistible.
If you're doing guests, I'll be there. I'm an Animal House fan, and I know you're going to have a tough time getting conservative pundits to come on and opine about Bluto Blutarski.
Well, especially because it's going to be 5:46 in the morning on a Tuesday night.
I know. Okay, listen, Gavin, we have to let you go, but let's get you back soon, and because I also want to talk about your transition. Listen. It's no secret that you're a pretty profane, out there guy, and you talked about having children and how that changed you into believing in God and sort of you're on this faith journey, which I also find interesting. So will you come back soon on the program?
I would love to come back and talk about the Lord.
Talk about the Lord, which also, funny fact about Quebec, the single most unchurched population in the industrialized world. Gavin McGinnis, Free Speech Podcast. Where can people best find that one?
I'm sorry, you can't just go out on that. There's less churches in Quebec than anywhere else?
No, unchurched. Probably the most beautiful churches in North America, the old Catholic churches, but the most unchurched, meaning people don't attend and people don't care about things.
You know, that song, Losing My Religion, was huge in Quebec.
It was. It was huge in Quebec. But we have to let you go. Where can people best find your podcast?
Check me out on Twitter, Gavin_McInnes. Free Speech Podcast is on iTunes. It's on Daily Motion. I'm around.
All right, Gavin, thank you very much. We will be back louder with Crowder and have Gavin on sometime soon. Stay tuned. If you like this video, subscribe by clicking my face. And if you hated it, well, join the club and you're going to hate this next video right next to me. But doesn't a part of you want to know what it is?